Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out today. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katura. What's going on, Katura?
Nothing's going on.
Yeah, you do have a boring life. And we also have our other co-host on the line, Craig Proper. How you doing? Craig Proper, I'm sorry.
No, Gary Prosper.
What hell is your name? What the hell? How do you say your last name? Because Granny has me all confused.
Proper.
It's proper.
Yes.
Proper, but it's spelled proper?
Exactly.
Okay.
Which made for great comedy when I was in high school. It was, proper, prophylactic, doper, all kinds of ways you can twist
that
up.
Could have gone all French and said it's propay.
Propair. anyway. I think it's actually a German name, but Buddy Wayne was the one that gave me Gary Prosper.
Not TV.
Yeah, so you do a rich guy gimmick, I guess.
So are you guys doing like what I'm doing and watching the Olympic opening ceremony in the background?
No.
It doesn't start here for another hour and a half, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm boycotting since that chick did those Twitter comments and got hauled off the team.
So you're protesting her comments or being kicked off the team?
Yeah, being kicked off. I'm protesting everything. I ain't going to watch the shit anyway, so I don't care.
There's this event called Women's Gymnastics. It's fucking awesome.
Yes. Well, I have
power. I'm more partial to the volleyball myself.
And the goalie for the soccer team is beyond hot.
Well,
anyway, we'll talk more about the Olympics after there's actually more Olympics going on.
Sure.
Maybe in a week or two. But basically tonight we'll be talking about what I thought was one of the most enjoyable Raws in a very, very long time. I highly enjoyed this show. I don't see how anyone could dislike this show. And anyone who disliked this show just is no longer a wrestling fan. And it's just a critic and a wannabe Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez type.
I see. Well, I very much enjoyed the show. At one point, during the show, I had to pull out my Facebook page and just update it with feeling like a kid again. Hashtag Raw 1000. Yeah, I thought it was a real good show. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I found myself smiling a lot. I found myself giggling a lot. I found myself yelling in the other room, "Hey, Cameron, run in here quick. You got to see this." It was a fun show.
Set up a lot of stuff for the future. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it actually set up their main storylines for the next almost year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least going into WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty great. I really liked the opening montage. They had too much new stuff in there. They could have put a little more older stuff, but they did have some awesome stuff in there.
I found myself at one point when they had the whole scene of Eddie and there were some really heart string type things right there that they were tugging at. I found myself getting a little misty there for a minute, but I pulled it together. So,
what did you think of it, sir?
I really liked the opening with DX with bringing Road Dogg and Billy and X-Pac back. I really enjoyed it. You could see the fans were ready for it. They knew that they were going to be there. So, and you know what? With the way they do the tag teams, just bring Road Dogg and Billy Gunn back as the Outlaws and give them a run. They'd probably still go.
Right. They'd be more entertaining than the tag teams they have.
Yeah, and they didn't beat the shit out of Sean and Hunter like they said in the kids in TNA all those years ago.
Remember when they came to San Antonio to kick their ass? And
yeah.
they had a big ass crowd, but they came on a different day.
They were doing it like it was like tape delayed or something. It was going to air on Impact on like Thursday, and so they said like Thursday, but they had already come like a day before or something.
I think it was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
But Billy actually looked pretty much the same. I mean, maybe a little heavier, but I mean, he still looked like he was in the same. X-Pac and Road Dogg, they had a little bit of a beer belly going. But
yeah.
They still look fine.
Was it just me, or did X-Pac look absolutely destroyed?
Like the road has owned him?
Like the road has owned him and ate a fistful of pills before he went up the curtain.
It's like the road has owned him and he's serving three life sentences.
Billy didn't look like any older than like in his heyday. Me at least.
Wow, he looked. I haven't seen him since he had the match with Jericho, or excuse me, Generico, last year. Now somebody's going to critique my dates, but I hadn't seen him since then. But he facially he looked like he had maybe had a pop or two in the back. I don't know. He just kind of looked out of it.
Well, I'm sure him and Road Dogg were out back smoking a big old blunt before the show started.
You know, I would say that. I don't know if you've seen any of Road Dogg's tweets, but he is a godly man. And he's always talking about the Lord on his posts and whatnot. And then he went to say the badass Billy Gunn and censored himself.
And how many people said ass the rest of their show?
Right. So I don't know if that's an obvious thing that, he practices what he preaches or whatever, but he did censor himself. So hopefully
I thought maybe he just did it to be funny and to poke fun at the thing.
I didn't even realize what he had said. I thought his voice had cracked or something. I actually thought he was kind of like his fucking up on him. Like,
he said the bad beep. Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
You want to see some funny Road Dogg? You got to watch that Are You Serious show with him and Josh Matthews.
Yeah, I've seen a few of them. I mean, I saw maybe the first five, but it's been a while.
That show's awesome.
Yeah, they are pretty funny.
They were making fun of the Smart Mark fans like a couple weeks ago. A bunch of them got mad. They introduced, they got the Triple H puppet?
Yeah.
You think the Triple H puppet? Now they got this puppet called, his name's Mark and he's smart. And he was wearing a T-shirt that said Work Right. And he was wearing a T-shirt that said Dave Taylor. And another T-shirt that said Support the Indies. And he was yelling at his mom to get his pizza bagels ready. He was awesome.
Dave Taylor, come on now.
And I thought the whole DX thing was funny as shit. I mean, I really enjoyed getting to see Road Dogg do his his announcing and everything, and I started laughing my ass off from the Billy and Sean were about to do the got two words for you, and started arguing. I thought that was pretty funny. But my favorite part of the whole fucking skit wasn't even DX. It was Damian Sandow when he said, well, that's quite rude.
He said, well, we're rude people.
That was tremendous.
They still should have done the thing when they were doing the stuff with Trish Stratus and Triple H in the back. They still should have Stephanie come in there like when she walked in like 10 years ago when they were playing wrestling holds. That's what they should have done there.
I love the improv when Triple H, you know, grabbed the mic and he basically just says, and I still have all my hair. And the giggle on Xbox face was tremendous, and everybody else kind of hid their faces. It was just off the cuff, and it was funny, and I really enjoyed the whole segment. Like I said, I was grinning ear to ear when this was on, and just a great segment, and made me, like I said, made me feel like a kid again.
And if you go on podcasts and radio shows and say that this kid went too long, you just have mental issues.
Oh, please. Back in the day, those DX skits went forever.
Well, pretty much all the skits went back. I mean, it was pretty commonplace for them to go 20 minutes back when they...
Back
that's
then
why
they were
people
good,
get mad about the opening segments now, but they don't even go anywhere close to as long as they did back in the day when they were hot.
Those long segments were much better back in the day, I think.
That's true. If a bad segment is long, it feels like forever. Like a women's
match. We're going to get a lot of them coming up here starting Monday, probably.
Yeah.
I like how they had the poll for the title they wanted to see on the line, and all the fans basically voted for Christian to lose his belt. I voted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you should have had the voting as.
Yeah, I mean, Christian wasn't happy about.
Yeah, I also thought it was cool that you know, before DX even came out, Vince actually opened up the show.
Yeah, that's what he should have done.
What I want to know is why does everyone keep saying Vince opened the show and that was the last we saw of him? No, it wasn't, you dumbasses.
No, he was back for a minute after that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Brian, Dave, and Vinny all said that it was the first time he was there. I mean, they had
look how much stuff they forget on a two-hour show.
True.
That is true. But
I just thought I had goosebumps when the fans were actually chanting, "Thank you, Vince." I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, people can talk about all the, you know, maybe the last little bits of Raw. You know, it hasn't really been that good, but, you know, it's like... I mean, how many years has it been? Almost 20 years since they've been doing it. So, they had a bunch of good stuff. Everybody wants to act like they've never had anything good and only want to point out the bad. That's bullshit.
And honestly, Raw has been around a lot longer than 1,000 episodes because, I mean, let's be honest, it's pretty much Tuesday Night Titans. You know,
The name of the show would Raw, just the one-hour show, not like primetime wrestling or anything.
Yeah, but basically it's always been the same show. It's just that they changed the name to Raw, and then
because there was a studio show.
Yeah, they had a studio show. Mm-hmm. They had they've had shit on and it's been on different nights. They had Tuesday. They were on Friday for a long time ago.
I was actually kind of pissed when they announced Raw because I always liked the Bobby Heenan and Vince and Gorilla going back and forth for 2 hours on like a Monday night. Because that was some funny stuff.
Yeah.
But what happened after DX?
Well, I've got it pulled up right here. This segment ended when Shawn Michaels super kicked Sandow and Triple H gave him the pedigree and everybody laughed and had a good time.
People
the next thing
being buried and I don't know. I hope that doesn't hurt his chances of main event WrestleMania next year.
Well, yeah. The next thing out was Sheamus, Sin Cara, and Rey Mysterio Jr. By the way, first time Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio Jr. have been in a tag match as partners, and nothing was ever said about it. Anyway.
Nobody really gets cool about this match because it was so short with the fact that they brought out Jim Ross.
Yeah,
true. They beat Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, and Chris Jericho. And this is going to lead to Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler in the next program that we should probably see ending around SummerSlam time, just in time for Fozzy to do their world tour.
Yeah, he'll probably go in there and, you know, put Dolph over pretty big, so that'd be good for him.
And there's a good chance it could be like the best match on the show.
And it's a different match than we've seen, so something new.
Yeah.
Jericho's looked really good lately, and he's really he's not textbook. He does everything different in each of his matches. He's been hitting the code breaker from different spots, even off the top rope and whatnot, and really enjoyed his work lately. And I might actually be seeing Fozzy here in the Tacoma area. They're playing the Uproar Festival, which is headlined by Shinedown, and they'll be headlining, or actually they'll be second on the second stage behind POD. So anyway, I'll let you know how that goes.
Speaking of Jim Ross, they really could have hired him to do some of this Olympic opening ceremonies, because the announcers they have are just sucking some major cunk right now. I mean, they suck. I could, it would be so much better with Jim Ross, like, not to give out some spoilers, Craig, but it would have been awesome to hear Jim Ross screaming, "My God, the plane has jumped out of an airplane!" It would have been awesome.
Then all the normal people walk and say, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
No, that'd be into it. He would have brought many guys to the Olympics.
He was supposed to. He was supposed to do the wrestling for the you remember the old TBS Goodwill Games?
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, when they would have like the Goodwill Games on WTBS and stuff like that. It was like,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they bunch of people put up a big stink because Jim Ross was going to be doing the broadcasting for the amateur wrestling. So he didn't get to do that.
That's stupid.
It was like people yelling about getting mad when he did the XFL, which you couldn't get anybody better, probably. You know.
He was awesome great doing the XFL. I don't know what everyone bitches about.
Yeah.
Just because he's a poor wrestling announcer. That's all they hear wrestling. That's all
I thought it was stupid what Jerry Lawler was doing the broadcast.
That's true.
Oh, no. He doesn't even know what's going on SmackDown. I'm sure he didn't even know what the hell is going on in the XFL.
Yeah. So after that match, we had the announcers actually talking to one Charlie Sheen, who may or may not have been drinking. They were talking to him via Skype, and this
a shitty connection.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have been on Blog Talk. Anyway, we had AJ and Layla talking in the back, and basically, AJ said, Layla said that she might be mental. And she said, "Well, what are you talking about? This whole place is nuts." She opened up the door, and Jim Duggan was running about. Roddy Piper and R-Truth were playing jump rope with the imaginary little Jimmy.
You know, you're not building up the segment the way it should be built up, because this, my friend, was the greatest segment in the history of fucking Raw. They gave you a payoff to a storyline from 15 years ago that everybody always wondered what the hell it was all about, and they finally paid it off, and it was the greatest segment in the world, so you need to build it up and talk about it like it was.
And then, Mae Young came from around the corner, and there was a man wearing a giant hand suit. A grown man wearing a hand suit, I say. And then everybody giggled, and Ed apparently had an aneurysm. I thought it was just humorous.
Just to be fair, I do not think this was the greatest segment in the history of Raw. I think there have been better segments that I've enjoyed.
There's been many.
All I know is when I saw the hand, I just started laughing my freaking ass off.
Stoner, everybody.
Dave hated it, but I mean, it was funny for what it was, you know, big deal.
They had thrown a lot of comedy. You can't be serious about everything. I mean, for Dave and Lance to be all, "Oh, I hated it, it was stupid." I go, there's so much more shit that's been stupider nowadays. I mean,
And, you know, you can tell, like, Brian wants to put it over a little bit more than Dave does, but Dave is just, oh, it's so stupid.
I thought it was funny, but I didn't, I wasn't embarrassed, but, yeah, I did kind of pop when I, you know, saw them actually paying off something that was so ridiculous. But
it was probably
the
stupidest angle of all time, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. And like Lance said, the hand should have actually been black, or at least brown.
Even if it wasn't black, though, Mark Henry should have walked behind, like, really fast or, like, trying to cover his face.
Grabbed his wallet and ran. Yeah. But, yeah, it was funny.
Yeah.
What was even more absurd is the suit itself, where the stuffing was actually falling out of the back of it. So anyway, yeah.
The fingers were all limp.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And then Mae Young just standing there with a big old smile on her face. How could she not like that?
The hand aged 2 decades in 10 years.
Right. You should have had like a 5 o'clock shadow on the hand. And anyway. After that segment that Ed, by the way, said was the greatest segment in the history of Raw, we had Brodus Clay beating Jack Swagger.
And Mick Foley rolling out the ring.
And then it got funny for a minute. And then Dude Love, not Mick Foley, not Mankind, Dude Love hit the ring and danced. And they cut a rug and put the Socko Claw on Jack Swagger. And by the way, what are they doing to poor Jack Swagger lately?
I don't know. They're bringing it up. Maybe they're going to do something with it. They should do more with him because he's a good wrestler.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's pretty decent. But if I was Kurt Angle, I'd be very offended at this kid and Brodus Clay stealing his American colors and singlet.
Well, Kurt Angle's the only one allowed to celebrate the 4th of July or, you know, America.
Yes, he's only an Olympic gold medalist.
I don't think Brodus Clay's tights were Olympic.
Brodus Clay's tights were horrendous.
They were horrendous.
Oh, my gosh.
It reminds me of Kurt Angle when he had the singlet that looked like a barber pole. That was horrible.
Wait, now when was the
little bit? Because I noticed this, and some people brought it up, and they were thinking the same thing I was with Daniel Bryan and then the guys in the white coats. Were y'all thinking the same thing I was?
I was
going to swerve AJ and have her committed after they did the I do's.
They looked like caterers to me.
They were supposed to look like, the white coats, going from the mental institution.
Now, the coats would be long.
At first, I thought they were going to be ushers, but now that I think about it, they did look like they were like the dudes that would go and grab you and throw you in a straitjacket and commit you.
I think somebody was more than maybe some other people were, but, I mean, that's what I thought, and then they totally swerved you.
Cool.
Now, they look like the caterers that were going to cut Daniel Bryan's tofurkey.
Okay.
Yeah, there is such a thing, by the way.
Well, if I ever get married, remind me never to get the caterers addressed like that.
Or have tofurkey, because it's ridiculously disgusting. Anyway, from there we had...
Now, if it's a turducken, that's a different story.
That's flipping amazing.
Have you ever had a turducken? Because I've been wanting to have one of these, but I have no idea where to even get one.
Oh, the chicken is so ridiculous because you got the juice from the turkey and the duck. It's all sucked up by the chicken. It's just fabulous.
Yeah, I watched one of those barbecue shows where they had the contestants had to do a turducken one week.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I heard of it. Can't be healthy.
Oh, no.
And the Greek team is currently walking out, and the one thing I always got to say about the Greek team every Olympics is they have some damn fine-looking good women on their team.
Who's performing?
Even though one of them got kicked out.
Speaking of women, we had Trish Stratus.
Sorry.
Speaking of women, we had Trish Stratus teaching Triple H how to do yoga.
And then she fucked him in the ass.
And then,
it took me a minute to figure out who it was.
That was a gag. GX came in and looked perplexed.
They sure did fly a bunch of people in for nothing on this show.
Hey, they had people they didn't even use on this show.
They had Kelly Kelly there. I thought they were going to do something with her. I know they called a bunch of people and told them to stay home.
How do we know that there are all these people in the back, supposedly? I mean,
because Dave and Brian
all I know is that I went on the board on one of the threads that was like confirmed people, and I made a comment about Ryan Shamrock being there, and the next thing I know, Dave's reporting Ryan Shamrock is going to be on Raw. So, I mean, I don't know.
I thought she was still with Dexpot, so that would explain why she would be there. I didn't know they weren't together anymore, so.
Anyway,
I think
the
they kind
of
blew their wad, like, for the previous weeks, having all the guys come out and beat Heath Slater. It was kind of a letdown when all those guys came out, because we've seen all of them.
Yeah, I wanted, like, Tony Garea and Rick Martel and Tony Atlas and Jimmy Snuka and Greg Valentine and Hillbilly Jim. And
Raw Superstar Hillbilly Jim?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Raw Superstar Hillbilly Jim. Well, he demanded the Godwins, I guess.
Yeah.
Ross is from your Korea.
And then let me, the big question was Vader actually running, or did he just kind of lean forward on the ramp and his weight took him?
I don't know, but the Masters of the Powerbomb have seen better days.
True.
Continue, Craig.
Thank you. Top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we had the wedding with Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee. We had the Reverend Slick, who, by the way, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Coughlin wrote, looks like Reverend Slick, looks like Reverend Run from Run DMC.
He was awesome.
I popped for that.
He was AJ and Daniel Bryan in the ring there. He was going back and forth with the audience doing the wet chant. And he was playing, that was funny.
That's actually the first time that, I mean, usually when it happens, it'll freak the people out. Like, it didn't even freak Kevin Nash out, who's supposed to be a professional and doing it for years. He got flustered and freaked out when they did it to him. And every once in a while, you'll get somebody like, R-Truth is actually kind of good at, like, kind of, in a way, ignoring it, or like a few other people are kind of good, but they don't really play off it. This is the first time where someone just took control of the fan saying it, you know, and he was fan. I don't know if it was fanned or he did that on his own, but I mean, he was freaking awesome. That was the best thing Slick's ever done.
And he got paid in Yardbird.
He started out, you know, we are gathered here today, and the crowd went, what? And he said, I said we are gathered here today. And it was tremendous.
And
anyway,
kinda
long story.
Give him a, you know, kind of get him back on track there for a while. He's going off the rails, it seemed like.
By the way, Daniel Bryan and AJ could not contain themselves. They giggled at Slick for the whole ceremony, and it was tremendous.
I said, did you ever think you'd see Daniel Bryan get married on TV? Did you ever see Daniel Bryan in the same ring with Slick?
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan wore a white tuxedo. There was a lot of firsts for Bryan Danielson that night.
Anyway, Slick asked him. He said yes. AJ, before he asked her, she started saying yes. And turns out that Vince McMahon had made her a proposal, and this I didn't understand at all. She is going to be the new GM of Raw. From there, Vince's music hit. Vince McMahon came and made another appearance, and she's going to be the GM of Raw, and she's out of the ring.
When he was announcing that for the Woo music, they had Ric Flair come out.
Yeah, I missed Ric Flair. I wish he would have been there.
You know, everyone's talking about what a letdown the wedding ended up being. And I'm not saying that it was great or anything, but, I mean, it was better than what everyone thought when she said someone else, because who didn't think she was talking about fucking Kane?
I was just wondering, I didn't know Vince and Linda got divorced.
Because
his music hit, and I said, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah, so it wasn't the best payoff in the world, but they got AJ behind the Big Show right now. They're pushing her to the moon, and we'll see what happens.
I'm just so over the whole DM stuff. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, they should.
I remember when you just showed up on when you, the show was just came on the air and all the matches were signed. They said, well, WWE officials have now signed this match. You didn't need, like, one person to do it.
They, ever since McMahon and Stone Cold got in that war, they always had to have some, quote-unquote, boss that people could be angry with. So,
they should have brought back the fat little kid from Make-A-Wish that got to be GM for a day.
Ooh. A bad idea.
So when Bischoff joined the NWO, that's when all that stuff started, it seemed like.
Yeah,
anyway, after the wedding, they went to commercial. Bryan was flipping out in the ring. CM Punk came out and basically made fun of Daniel Bryan. And he said he's not the greatest in the world. He's not even the greatest superstar in this ring. He was the greatest superstar of all time, said Daniel Bryan, and The Rock's music hit, and he came out, and there was a great verbal debate between The Rock and one Daniel Bryan. The Rock called him Frodo, which I was in tears when he said that. He called him an Oompa Loompa, which I didn't quite understand that, because Daniel Bryan is obviously not a purple man. But anyway, they traded some back and forth, and Rock hit him with the Rock Bottom and said he would be taking on the champion at the Royal Rumble.
What was incredible with the thing with him and Daniel Bryan is basically he undressed Daniel Bryan. He gave Daniel Bryan, you know, the Rock Bottom. But at the same time, Daniel Bryan actually got over by doing it just for the way that he stood up to The Rock. I mean, it was, you know, usually everyone gets nervous or kind of backs down to The Rock, but this is the first time somebody, while being dressed down, was still getting in The Rock's face and just his tone and the way he did the promo. I mean, Danielson was just freaking awesome.
And took an amazing Rock Bottom. He got so high for this thing. It was awesome.
He's so much better than Punk.
Yeah. Next segment, we had Bret Hart coming out, and he introduced the Intercontinental title match.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one more thing is people were like, how did The Rock just get a title at the, you know, it just, they just, you know, threw him out there and said he just got it.
He won the main event of WrestleMania.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, he's the motherfucking Rock. If anyone deserves a title for no reason, it's The Rock. So what's the big difference? I mean, how many times do people get a title shot after they lose five matches and people are going to, and Brian's going to be like, well, why did The Rock get a title shot? He's the fucking Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just happened in USC, you know. Some dude just gets his title shot seems out of nowhere sometimes. Like, even when Brock Lesnar fought Randy Couture, wasn't that kind of out of nowhere? Rock wasn't even really established, was he?
And Dave's always talking they need to do what's right for business and you know, by, like, giving other people title shots instead of, like, the guy who actually earned it because they're born. Dave said that many times on shows about USC. So why, what's the difference between a real sport doing it and a fake sport doing it? And,
they want to make money.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's how you make money, by giving The Rock a title match.
And yes, he won the main event against of WrestleMania clean against the biggest star in the company. So,
yeah.
And he made his intentions known, like the next night he wanted a shot at the title. And he has a schedule they have to work with, so that's why it's getting announced so early. So, you know.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Your friend's just an idiot, Craig.
I'm okay with that.
They acted like it was fucking appalling that he's getting this title shot out of nowhere.
No. Come on. Anyway, getting back to my original thought, Bret Hart came out to introduce the Intercontinental title match. He said that one of the greatest moments was winning the IC title from Mr. Perfect, which that match was stupid good.
Those two just had incredible chemistry.
Yeah. Anyway, this brought out the I don't care what Brian says. The Miz looks more generic now than ever without the faux hawk.
I think he looks better. He looks more mature to me.
True. But he just looks like another guy. Maybe when the beard comes in, I'll change my mind.
That's what he needs anyway, to grow a beard.
I thought it was actually funny the way Bret Hart just says, in the Miz.
Well.
But how old is Bret Hart, actually? How old is Bret Hart? Because we talked about the road-owning Xbox. I mean, the road's own Bret Hart.
Well, I think the stroke on Bret Hart.
I want to say he's like 55, 56.
I don't think he's that old.
That's what I want to say, but I'm not 100% sure.
He was like 40 when Wrestling with Shadows came out.
He was 40. He turned 40 in 97 because he was told that girl that he was like one of the makeup ladies or something. And he's turning 40 next week or something at that Calgary Stampede. So, maybe we'll make him around 55, maybe 54 or something.
Hold on. You know that I'm the king of Wikipedia, so.
Yeah, but you always have the wrong things from Wikipedia.
That's true.
Hunter turned 43 today.
Yep. Bret Hart, born in 1957, which makes him 55 years old.
Yeah, Katrina was right.
God.
What do you mean Katrina was right?
He said 55.
I said 55, 56.
Oh. This makes me realize how old I'm getting.
Anyway, this led to a match between Miz and Christian, as we discussed earlier. This means Christian was losing the title. Just kind of an average match. There was nothing wrong with it. Miz won clean with the skull crushing finale, which is the worst named finisher in all of professional wrestling.
Is it better than
during this match, or like right before, like a little after this match, Alex Gold had posted that he was sad because he couldn't watch it because he was at a hotel. And then like one of his friends posted, "Oh, you're not missing nothing. They only had two minute matches, and then they should be having more matches. It's the 2000th episode of Raw. And when has Raw ever been about matches? How stupid can you be? You know what I mean?"
Well, I mean, I've gotten to the point where when people complain about the lack of wrestling on Raw, I just determine they're new fans. This has been going on for like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Or they just stop being fans and have become critics. That's the one thing that the internet has kind of spawned, is these
No, not critics on the internet.
But just, you know, you have these people who they say they're fans, but yet they hate and detest everything. And they'll bitch if there would have been a bunch of matches, they would have been bitching about too many matches and not enough skits. Too many skits and they bitch about matches. It's like there's a wrestling population that just hates everything.
As much as they say they want something to be done right, some of them, you know, want something to be a flop just so they can complain about it. Even when it's not a flop, they'll act like it was and then complain about it still. Or whatever.
Yeah. Until they'll hear Brian or Dave or someone actually phrase it, and then the next day they'll have a whole different story about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The main thing that I'd like the Intercontinental title on the Miz, I think it's better for him than Christian. Plus, they got the old Intercontinental title, but they just need to get rid of that white strap. It's ugly. Bring the black one back.
And bring the purple one, the warrior hat. That would be awesome.
Well, warrior hat, purple, red.
Those multicolored.
I like the way warrior came out and color coordinated.
Remember when he stopped using the face paint, just did like the heart on his cheek?
Yeah,
that was good.
It wasn't really a heart. It was a miniature warrior mask.
You know, those face painters like the Road Warriors and Sting, they're pretty damn good at putting that paint on their faces.
I'm sure they have somebody to do it for them.
I've seen like videos and photos of them doing it themselves.
Huh. Yeah, I've seen the Warriors doing themselves a bunch of times, and I've seen Sting do it too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Warriors did it too.
Yeah, Adam would love to do his for sure. I've seen him doing the spider.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He got real intricate there towards the end. He had the spider in the middle of his forehead. It's like,
that would seem to be really difficult, just like looking at yourself and in the mirror and trying to do that.
Yeah, but when you do it every day for 20 years, you know, you can probably do it with his eyes closed.
Continue.
Anyway, 10 o'clock hour, straight up, hour number three of this show. We had Triple H and Brock Lesnar angle. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and we can discuss where this went.
This went to point to call Paul Heyman a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really think Paul Heyman ever really, I mean, like Dave talks in the Observer, he always, you know, like said good things about Stephanie. He always has, you know, like whenever he's mentioned her and stuff like that. I think it's just one of those promoters that they got maybe too close to Vince or something at one time or another. You know? I don't know.
He just gets hate on because he's been giving so much praise and in the past.
He does get a lot of praise. People act like his booking was like an orgasmic experience or something. Christ.
Well, you know, people were drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Hey, it wasn't bad, but I mean, it's like, oh God, it's like we've never seen this before.
He wasn't Johnny Mantell.
Well, no, he wasn't no Johnny Mantell, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was the one thing in the 80s. I mean, a lot of these guys are so obscure, and if we said a lot of these names, no one would even know what we're talking about. There were awesome bookers in the early 80s.
You mean Kim Mantell?
Kim Mantell, Gary Hart, you know, Bill Dundee actually wasn't too bad.
Dusty Rhodes, I like Dusty Rhodes. He gets shit on a lot, but I like Dusty.
The Big Cat, Ernie Ladd was pretty good.
Bill Dundee.
I mean, a lot of people will say a lot of bad things about Ole, but there was some awesome shit on Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yeah. I love some of the stuff Watts did.
Yeah, Watts was pretty good. I gotta give it to Watts. But anyway, let's get back on track. Everyone's saying that, it, you know, the matches is that the segment wasn't about what the match is about, but in fairness, though, the segment was pretty awesome. Heyman is so fantastic. I mean, his facial, everything he does, the way he went crazy. I mean, Paul Heyman is just made to be a TV character and just be. That's one thing Brian does have, right? He is a troll. He's just a fucking troll, and he's awesome at it.
And if they're going to have a GM, I make him the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be life-pick.
You had some people bitching. Like I said earlier, they want to, you know, say, oh, they just killed the whole match. You know, Hunter ran, not Brock out of the ring. That's a big deal. They've got
that happens in every feud. How many times, when the Undertaker was a bad guy, how many times did they send the Undertaker ass over tea kettle out of the ring? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the first confrontation since Brock broke his arm and Hunter got the better of him and drove him out of the ring.
Yeah.
It's been done 20 million times.
Yeah, and in 2 weeks, Brock will kill Shawn Michaels and get his heat back.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, people just got to... I don't know, people just want to jump on the negative so much and just declare, oh, he just killed the SummerSlam buy rate. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's just like what you said earlier. People went into that segment wanting the bitch. I mean, as much as I dislike Triple H, I don't have anything bad to say about that segment. I mean, if they're going to do 12 minutes of the minutes they did on Raw, that was awesome.
Well, Stephanie looked very good, I must say.
Yeah, she did look pretty hot. She was even hotter
with three children.
I said she was even hotter than she was back when she used to come out on TV every week.
Yeah,
especially for somebody that had three kids. So
yeah, she's a pretty hot MILF.
Yep.
Shall we continue?
What's next, Craig?
Is Lita's boobs beat Heath Slater?
And I very much disagree with Vinny. Lita's music is awesome.
Oh,
I've always liked Lita's music.
Sounds like some of that Hardy Boys shit.
But it's better than the Hardy Boys, though. I've always liked
it.
Because
they're not singing it.
Like their music.
They don't, like, fly into the... They don't slam tomatoes or whatever that fucking song. Man, Hardy.
And Lita looks pretty good, too. I mean,
yeah.
You don't
say.
She looks.
Did she get with Funk, or did he drop her yet?
Anyway, Slater came out and challenged anyone to a no disqualification, no count out match. Lita came out to accept, looking succulent. said she hired some protection. From there, the APA ran down. And there was a huge pop in the Prosper household. Slater dove out of the ring. He went to run up the ramp, but was cut off by all the guys he had lost to in the last few weeks, and got him back into the ring. Bradshaw hit him with a amazing clothesline, and Lita hit the moonsault and didn't kill him. And 1, 2, 3, Lita's boobs beat Heath Slater.
You actually praised the wrong thing. Yes, the clothesline was awesome, but the selling was what made it even more awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He did a basically
on his head.
Stood on his head for like 5 seconds.
Yep, and Bradshaw giggled at him.
Bradshaw's one of the best clotheslines there's ever been, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know what one of my favorite clotheslines ever was is the Jake the Snake short clothesline.
Yeah, Jake the Snake was good.
Short arm clothesline. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, Bradshaw
like that. And like
you know,
the
and people bitch about people like or even Craig will be like, but Ryback, he's gonna kill somebody. He's gonna kill somebody. Yeah. But Ryback doesn't hit no one even close to as hard as JBL has been doing it for like 15 years.
JBL makes it look real. Ryback is really throwing a clothesline.
I don't know if I agree with that because all I know is I think JBL is knocking the shit out of people.
Ricky Steamboat's neurosurgeon would disagree.
Possibly. Public Enemy might disagree, though.
Public Enemy?
Yeah, don't you remember when Bradshaw and Farouk beat him up for real?
Oh, yeah, and then they fired him. That was funny.
I know, you'll get your ass kicked, and then you get fired. But the sad part is the reason they didn't fight back is because they were worried about getting, like, fired or something, and they got fired anyway. Not that they could have fought back, but you know what I mean? They could at least tried.
I think they tried, the
tried to defend themselves.
The
at least.
I think they tried the same shit on the Dudleys later that year when they came in. The Dudleys were able to take it or, you know, they know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas, I got about 12 more minutes until I'm out of here. I'm going to catch a movie with my
what are you going to see?
I want to go see Batman.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Don't
yeah, we can't talk about it anyway, Couture, because I never got past 108 minutes on that download you sent me.
We should go to that forum and find another link to it.
Are they all using that same media player? I mean, is there any way I can watch it on my media player instead of theirs?
Will you guys talk about stealing stuff later? 12 minutes, baby. Here we go. Sean Mooney was in the back, and he was interviewing Daniel Bryan.
And Sean Mooney looked exactly the same as he did 20 years ago.
This was just
random.
Just throwback to Sean Mooney.
Anyway, Bryan was upset about comments that Charlie Sheen had made. And and basically, it looks like we're going to get some sort of an altercation between Daniel Bryan and one Charlie Sheen at SummerSlam, which is in L.A. this year.
It'll just have me put Charlie Sheen in the yes lock, and you know, Charlie Sheen probably be game for that.
Right. You know, we're talking about things we never thought we'd see Daniel Bryan do or Bryan Danielson do. Having a confrontation with Charlie Sheen at SummerSlam is another one of them.
Yeah.
Hey, thank God his Twitter got shut his Twitter down. That was better. You know. don't want to go read shit on Twitter anyway.
But Daniel was also prone to calling out Sheen.
Yeah. From there, we have one of the most obscure references on the show tonight. John Cena, Zack Ryder, and Gene Okerlund were talking backstage, and Ryder thought that Okerlund was behind the GTV segments from Raw years ago, which I just assumed was gold dust.
Yeah, that's what I think it was going to be, but then he left or something like
right.
that. Remember that was the one where, you know, they had that headbanger, and he was accused of beating up Beaver, his mother cleavage or whatever chick's name was.
That was Paul Leesenby's ex-wife.
Yeah, he was accused of, like, beating her, and she had this, like, black eyes, and they showed, GTV showed her putting the black eye paint on her face.
Yeah. But
yeah.
I was actually, I marked out, oh, I didn't mark out as bad as much as I did for the hand, but that's another thing I had in the back of my mind is like, are they going to bring up GTV? It would be so cool if they bring up GTV. So we didn't get a payoff, but they actually brought it up, which I thought was cool.
They should have just done a GTV segment out of the blue, you know, where
sure.
it pops up on the screen.
Yeah, why not?
They could have had Vince's meeting with AJ.
Not a bad idea.
Back to that Heath Slater thing real quick. They there's talk of doing, like, having somebody, like a former star, come out every week from now on, which could be a good, you know, good thing for the three-hour show, I guess.
Sure. They need as much material as possible.
Yep.
So. Came back from another commercial. Kane was in the ring, and he was interrupted by geeks. Jinder Mahal, Hunico Camacho, and Kurt Hawkins, and Tyler Rex, Drew McIntyre was in there, said they basically wanted a shot on Raw 1000. They got into the ring. Undertaker's dong went off, and they all quietly got out of the ring to let Undertaker get into the ring, and the babyfaces laid waste to them and hit them with double choke slams and double tombstones, and Hawkins and Hunico were deceased.
That was the most politest audience ever.
They said when they came out, Jinder Mahal was on the microphone. He said, for 999 episodes, we've been overlooked. I said, y'all been on 999 episodes?
Yeah.
y'all have been overlooked. Why do y'all still have jobs there?
But it was actually cool seeing The Undertaker, even though he wasn't moving around all that great. But at least, cool.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about him coming back at Survivor Series or something.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? And in the main event, we had John Cena beating CM Punk by DQ, but there was a swerve. Discuss.
Well, he knew he wasn't going to win. They could have made a bigger – well, here's the thing. A lot of people are bitching. They should have made a bigger deal about him not winning the thing. If they would have done that, it would have took away from what was actually happening in the ring, which is more important, even more important than that, and that is they had to turn Punk heel, and it was not going to be an easy thing. If Punk would have just done something simply drastically, he would have got scared because, it's, you know, everyone hated Cena. They had to do it exactly the way they did. They had to do it where CM Punk just took his sweet-ass time and just made it take so long. I mean, he just made it register in the fans, and the fans just starting to see him being a pussy
can bring
for not helping.
Weight.
Yeah, I mean, being a pussy for not helping. And CM Punk was fantastic in his segment because the way he sold it, was just perfect. And it's one of those things where I knew he was going to go heel, and I figured it'd have to be something like him doing something to The Rock because you couldn't really do it to Cena because people would actually cheer that, and they just did it perfect. I mean, the fans are on the verge of just having one of the biggest pops of the night when he would hit that people's elbow, and just within a split second of him hitting the elbow, Punk cut him off, and I mean, it was just
it was
the most perfect turn since Bret and Steve did the double turn in the match.
And Rock sold it like he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was well booked. Having Show out there, you thought that maybe Show was going to cost Cena the match and team with Punk, and then he ends up knocking out Cena. Rock hits the ring. What's going to happen? He goes for the people's elbow. Punk hits a clothesline on the Rock. The heat wasn't off the charts, but there was a little bit of heat, probably more heat than if he just would have straight up turned on John Cena. So so attacking the Rock first was the smartest thing to do. Yeah, I thought it was done really well. I think you're going to get even more people behind Punk now. I don't think people are going to buy him as a heel, at least the male demographic's not going to, but they haven't anyway.
Maybe not until Rock comes back to build up for that match.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally see, I would love it if Punk would keep the title from now all the way up until Rumble.
I could see Cena getting it back for like a month and then going back to Punk before the Rumble.
Yeah. But
could have something in between there.
If he could keep that all the way till the Rumble and then we get a Punk Rock match and then that didn't sound right. We get a Punk and the Rock match and we get a another John Cena versus the Rock once in a lifetime for the second time, by the way, at WrestleMania next year. I think that's obviously probably the direction they're going, and I think that would be great.
Yeah, and I could see, Brock and Undertaker. Brock's not
Taker
in the main event.
Taker and Brock at WrestleMania next year as well. I thought they took their 3 hours and their amazing rating, and they basically planned out the rest of the year up until Mania next year.
I'm expecting we get a three-way at SummerSlam, maybe with Punk and Cena and Big Show. I'd rather see a singles match, but, whatever.
It'll be a three-way so Show can do the job, and that way, Cena doesn't have to lose.
Yeah.
I am curious where that puts Daniel Bryan, though.
With Charlie Sheen.
I know, but after that, I mean, after, you know what I mean? He was in the title hunt. Now he's going to do a little program with Sheen, and then what?
It'll be him versus AJ Lee at WrestleMania, opening match.
Oh, Jesus. You'll get pinned in 19 seconds?
Or get pinned in 5 seconds.
This is a horrible plan, Ed. You didn't know that. Okay, guys, I'm out. Have a good rest of the show. Enjoy your weekend. Bye, everybody.
So long, Craig.
Well, our co-host is rude and has left the show, and with us with 30 minutes to go. So I guess we could talk, because there's like so much shit we didn't even get to last week. Like, we didn't even talk about any of the Kurt Angle stuff.
What was the Kurt Angle stuff? What did we do last week? Can you remember?
We were just talking about, like, highlights of Raw.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
Kurt
like
Angle stuff with he and Austin or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like him in the pink hat, or when he came, one of my favorite things is when he came out in the scooter when he was feuding with the Undertaker.
Yeah,
he came out in the little white scooter with a white outfit with a white scarf, and basically the climax was the Undertaker pushing the scooter off the stage.
Yeah, I remember it was before that. It was like he had won a match and he was celebrating backstage, and he's over there by catering, and he was like throwing food up in the air, throwing milk up in the air, and. And then right behind him was Undertaker's motorcycle, and I think this was the start of the feud.
Yeah. That was funny, because even when he was a heel, he was still drinking milk.
Yeah.
And then when he tried to drown himself with the milk, and with the...
He blew his head off.
Yeah, but like, speaking of, like, we were talking about Austin and, like, some of the stuff he did with, like, going against Vince and the Invasion, but... the heel Austin, even though it was bad for business or whatever, was just so awesome. And that whole thing with the milk truck, I mean, just even before when all of the Beijing crew are all in the ring, the ECW and the WCW guys, and they're all fucking seeing the wind beneath my ring, and you got like, just incredible, like seeing his heart out, and
yeah.
I mean, it was just Tommy Dreamer. I mean, it was just so freaking hilarious. And then Angle comes out in the milk truck and gives everybody the milk bath.
Yeah, I remember when before this, this was like a couple years earlier when Austin threw the Intercontinental title off the bridge. He had forfeited to The Rock, and then I think it was like the next year or so when Rocky acted like he had thrown Austin's Smoking Skull belt off the bridge and then knocked Steve Austin off the bridge when they got in a fight on the bridge and he knocked Steve Austin over the bridge and into the water.
Yeah. How many guys have been thrown into the water? Let's see, Stone Cold. I remember Edge went into the water one time.
Yeah, John Cena threw Edge in the water. You remember when the gold medals went in the water?
Oh, yeah, the gold medal.
Gold medal that Steve Austin threw in the water.
He threw
a red, white, and blue brick in the water.
And when Edge went into the water, it was in one of those nasty-ass fucking rivers or lakes or whatever, and he got sick after it.
Who was that?
Edge.
But there's also... this was on ECW where Chavo went into the water by CM Punk when they had the street fight. It was like Gulf of Mexico, and it was like sick
then,
the next week.
Yeah. And then there wasn't there one, it was, I think it was a pay-per-view that was like in Memphis or Mississippi or somewhere?
Oh, with Al Snow and Bob Holly?
Yeah, Al Snow and Bob Holly. Didn't they go into the
Mississippi
River?
Yeah. And it was like in February. Like cold as shit.
Oh, I bet they froze their ass off. Now, to get off track, what did you think of your buddy Al Snow's performance on the fucking Impact last night?
Well, you hold it against the kid because you didn't see the fucking match? That was stupid.
He's like, I want to vote yes just to piss off or whatever Joey Ryan, but I'm going to vote no.
He came up as
the biggest asshole in the world right there. Just like
Mike
Joey
Tanae
Ryan,
the fucking match.
Joey
Mike
Ryan Tanae in the baby face.
Mike Tanae couldn't make a determination.
That was stupid.
Yeah. Like they build up Chavo Jr. coming on. It's like all that build up for Hornswoggle's bitch to make his debut.
Yeah.
And that group, the Aces and Ace, looks like a bunch of black scorpions with those masks.
Hey, maybe Al Perez is one of them.
I know, maybe Wild Bill Irwin is. He can do a Chauncey chant.
Right. But I guess we can talk about some of the worst moments of Raw. What do you remember some of the actual worst things that have ever happened?
I don't know, because sometimes the worst things are the ones that end up being the funniest to me. Because I don't take that shit seriously, so it's hard for me to say something was truly horrible. I mean, even the hand, which is like the bottom of the barrel, is still very entertaining. Oh, China's friend, Sammy, who was a transvestite and gave a blowjob to Mark Henry.
That was pretty funny.
Remember when Mark Henry admitted to the therapist that he slept with his sister?
Yeah.
That was terrible. That was just stupid.
Yeah, they had to do with some of the most crazy, absurd stuff back then.
Mark Henry, he got over even more with all that sexual chocolate bullshit.
You know, they gave him that stuff so they could piss him off so he quit because he was making like an absurd amount of money. But I actually thought he was over when he was doing all that shit.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, yeah. Mark Henry, Mae Young in the bed with the edible panty. With the Tutti Frutti flavor. That stuff was awesome.
This is everything with Mae. Oh, you remember the last time that Mae Young actually kind of really wrestled and she started giving, I forgot who she gave a forearm to, but she bounced off and thank God the rope was right behind her.
She almost broke her neck. Yeah.
I think that's when they stopped killing my young.
Yeah. That's when they were like, no more. But I'm sure when she's 100,
when Bubba would, he even went off the stage with May when she brought her out in her wheelchair and her neck brace. I'm surprised she still lived through all of this shit.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say the story, you know, after he did the power bomb, because he took most of it on his ass, but still, you know, you got this old lady taking a power bomb through a table, and after in the back, she went up to Bubba and gave him a fucking hard-ass forearm and told him, don't ever do that shit again.
Still, I'd be nervous every time I was working with her.
I'd be scared to death, but...
Like the 3-minute warning when they come out and splash her?
Yeah.
You remember when 3-minute warning killed the lesbians?
And I remember that one lesbian, Lenny Lane, was pretty fucking hot.
Yeah. I think she got hurt. She got it in, like, broke ribs or something like that. They were really
fucked her up pretty good.
Yeah. I remember Eric being...
And then, like, another, like, I'll never forget that one moment where, speaking of 3-minute warning, kind of like when they're interviewing Booker T in the back, and then Eric Bischoff just happens to walk on by.
Hey, I was like, holy shit.
Right? And then Booker's like, tell me I didn't just see Eric Bischoff.
That was a weird one.
Oh, you know, speaking of Booker T, all this shit that Booker T used to do in Ghostbusters, they were so awesome as a tag team and just doing skits.
Yeah. Booker T and Goldie, they were actually a great tag team. They actually had, like, one of the better builds to winning the tag team titles. Like, you know, later that year, they built it up like huge. And they finally won, and really over.
Yeah. I remember when he was... And Goldust was dressed up like the crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
And he came across X-Pac like he was a wild animal in the beast. He's a fight, crying. That was pretty
funny. He said it's the little known grease rat or something like that. I don't know. And then Big Show was taking a nap on the couch and he was saying cheeseburger when he snored.
Or when Eddie gave him the tainted burritos.
Yeah. Booker T and Steve Austin in the grocery store.
Yeah, that was awesome. They destroyed that store.
Yeah, I wonder what the check was for that after. Oh, I guess WWE just goes to these stores and says, you know, we need to shoot a skit here and you know how much it's going to cost.
Probably right, you know, they're
20 or 30 grand or something like that, I'd imagine. I don't know.
They probably had one of the registers open and scanners and everything that got damaged, they went to the scanner and scanned.
That was probably fun as hell for them to go through there just grabbing food and shit like that.
Yeah.
Look at him, he's just walking down the cereal aisle and he's just opening cereal and eating it. You know, like he ain't got no money.
Yeah. That was so awesome. And then, like, you know, they said, breaking out the flour and eggs and all that stuff.
I was trying to remember any other, like, food fights or anything. But that thing with Bischoff, when he showed up, that was just, like, kind of out there. But holy shit, I wouldn't expect him that. And they hugged and everybody, like, flipped their lid. I didn't think it was that big a deal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal.
I mean, he'd already made him a general manager of this show. Is it any worse than him hugging? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. That's just, you know, wrestling fans just like to flip their lids about fucking everything.
And I liked when they started the stuff with Raw and SmackDown, and they said they had, like, that 1 month where anybody could jump, like, to any show they wanted. Like, there was no contract or something, and you had Brock jumping, and Benoit and Guerrero jumped over to SmackDown, or stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool for a while there.
Yeah. Wow, the chick
holding
the
flag like they should have to make it a big deal, I don't think.
The what?
They never really separated them like they should have to make it that big of a deal.
Yeah. But, and then, like we've seen careers end on just nothing, like on skits on Raw. can ever forget Paul London totally fucking up his job when Vince was making the sad walk through the back and everyone was lined up and there's stupid ass high Paul London with a big old smile and grin.
Yeah.
And Vince even stopped and looked at him. And he knew right when Vince stopped to look at him, he's like, you knew it was fucking trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man, that was dope awesome. Much. You don't know how to act.
And Vince,
what do you think
I mean,
else? Like some of the tribute shows that they did. I mean, they only did like three. You know, the first one was... they did the Brian Pillman one. That wasn't really a tribute show like the ones we got later on.
Yeah, that was just when they brought, you know, he kind of marched out his wife. And
yeah, I didn't like that. That made me feel kind of weird.
Yeah, that one was pretty weird. I bet La Statue wasn't all thrilled with filming that.
Yeah.
The old one was super sad.
Yeah. I mean, because that was just, I'd watched the show the night before. But now they're going to do something, and, yeah. I don't know, I enjoyed it. I didn't think anybody, I mean, some people bitched about, like, Steve Austin, and he wasn't friends. Well, he didn't want the guy to die. He might not have liked him for what happened with his neck, and he didn't want the guy to be dead, you know.
It's not like Austin cut, like, a cheerful promo or anything. All he did was come out and open a can of beer and salute Owen. Like,
yeah.
Can you bitch about that? And what's the big deal about that? You might not like somebody, but you still have respect for a person.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people said, like, some people, like, maybe Hunter wasn't sincere or something like that. And so, I don't know. And when somebody dies, it's all different.
Yeah.
You know, even if they don't like somebody personally, you can't just, like, hold that against them when somebody's dead. You know,
yeah.
I don't think that's a big deal about that. But yeah, with the comments that they were doing, I think Jeff Jarrett was the one that I got to meet the most because they were like really good friends at that time and tag team partners. So
yeah, yeah. And then then Eddie was cool because Eddie basically got both shows as tributes.
Yeah, that's right. That was like they were actually taping that Raw like that Sunday or something like that, and so it wasn't actually live. So. But yeah, they got both those shows. That Benoit, that was like one of the saddest things I've ever seen. His tribute.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I guess they ended up getting a lot of heat for that one. They kind of jumped the gun on that one.
On the Benoit one?
Yeah, the Benoit one.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, people say they do it all for ratings, and that's probably true, but I don't think they're bad things. So, you know. The Benoit thing, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. Maybe they knew something beforehand. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I don't know what you do when you. When actually, they had 3 hours they were supposed to fill that night, and they just said they weren't going to do the show. And I think they just played like matches from his DVD or something like that.
Yeah, that's all they did. They just showed matches. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I couldn't even watch the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean. About halfway through that, you know, when the news started coming in about what actually happened. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's probably, like, the only really, like, brawl that's, like, a downer. I'm trying to think of anything, like, well, I guess when Draws got hurt, it was pretty bad.
You know, that was on SmackDown, I think, though.
Okay. That
yeah, he got paralyzed.
Yeah.
I thought the Raw was pretty big when they bought WCW. Especially
yeah,
when I saw Nitro with the opening with Vince McMahon. Nitro. That was weird.
That was weird. And then Flair had like one of the best promos of his career when he was, you know, shooting on, well, I can't really say he was shooting on this, but, you know, when he's talking about, did you ever cut yourself 5 times in a match? You know, he's like, your dad voted for me to be world champion. And so,
yeah.
I mean, that was just an awesome promo.
And then when
they were firing everybody in the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't actually say like anyone was fired, but you pretty much do. Lex Luger and Jeff Jarrett were fired.
Yeah, and Regal was the commissioner, and he said, like, during one of the breaks, he was in there with Vince, said, WCW, why would you buy such a bloody awful place? And then Tony Schiavone came back the next segment and said, we've done some things we hadn't wanted to do here, like put Steve Regal's ass over on TV.
That was a crazy, crazy night.
And I think it was Sting and Flair in the last match, and I think they were like they were one of the first matches on the first Nitro, so it was kind of kind of fit, I guess.
Excuse me. But there's been so much things, it's kind of hard to like pick certain things or think of certain things.
I remember like some weirdness that happened with Kevin Nash trying to walk across the ring and blowing his quad out.
I know, that was funny.
It was like you thought he got shot with a shotgun or something. He was walking and then he just dropped.
Then you take like two steps and then he just boom.
Yeah. No. Shawn Michaels had to come in and save the match and, you know, deliver some super kick in the match, and yeah, that was it for Kevin Nash for almost a year.
Yeah. Do you remember the one bet that, I don't know how long it went, it was almost an hour, but it was Shawn Michaels and Hunter on Raw from here in town, in San Antonio?
Yeah, that was the one, and then they brought it back for, like, the Royal Rumble. That was the one with the double pin, right?
I don't even remember. I just remember the match just went on, but it was badass the whole time.
Yeah, it was the double pin because they brought it back, like, last man standing. And they had the no decision, and that led to those two and Benoit in a three-way at WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that was. I remember the first Kiss My Ass Club with Steve Regal.
And he put the chapstick on.
Yeah, those were funny. A lot of people didn't like them. I thought they were funny.
Yeah, that was especially, that was the best one.
Yeah. Well, he actually did it. I said he must have been promised a push or something.
Right.
That was when Ric Flair came back.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler came back.
I just remember when you got the payoff to the Kiss My Ass Club when DX shoved Vince's head. Literally half his head went up Big Show's ass cheeks.
I remember when. Was it the one where they made Shawn Michaels do the public drug test in the ring?
Oh yeah,
and he filled it like a big gulp cup up with urine and then threw it in. You knew it was going in Vince's face, and that was awesome.
You remember when Austin had for some reason his pee was green and he peed on Arn Anderson?
Yeah. Looked like he had.
I don't know where it looked like. That green pee.
Looked like he had gotten into some nuclear material or something. I don't know what the deal was there.
Yeah.
I remember when Austin left and, you know, they had to rush the Ric Flair and Steve and Vince McMahon match.
Yeah.
And to be the one owner of the company. Then the next week they brought the Rock back to, as a surprise, to cut like a promo on Steve Austin and people wanting to leave and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I just remember one of my favorite acts. I can't really say both of them, but like when the Mean Street Posse would come out and everybody would bark out for Pete Gas and everybody hated Rodney.
They had that awesome music.
Yeah. They were awesome. Dude, I'll never forget when they took on Briscoe and Patterson. That was one of the best matches ever.
What if they still... I don't think they wrestle anymore, do they?
Who? The Mean Street? No, I haven't heard about them doing anything since they got let go. I know, I think Rodney was in Developmento for a while.
I think both of them should have brought back for the 1000 Raw.
They would have been perfect to kind of come out.
Maybe actually Heath Slater beat him or something like that. I don't know.
Well, Slater would have got the heat on Rodney and then Pete Gas would have made the comeback.
Yeah.
I just remember like going being in like second row at one of the shows, and it was just so funny when Rodney would get on one of the turnbuckles, everyone would just fucking boo the shit out of him, and then Pete Gass would get on them, fucking everyone would go crazy. It was just, I never really understood that, but it was funny.
Oh, one that I thought was a stupid skit and that wasn't very funny was the Dr. Heine skit.
Jim Ross,
yeah, that was kind of stupid. Katie Vick, that was just an oddball bunch of shit. I don't know who came up with that. I guess Vince did. That was weird stuff.
That was one of the more weirder kind of things they ever did. Hunter's fucking a dead chick.
Although it was funny when he said, I screwed her brains out, and he's holding her brains in his hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the shit they used to get away with back then, you know, compared to now.
I thought it was funny when Kane said Jim Ross on fire.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Wasn't that kind of like, in a way, like a takeoff of the Mankind kind of interview?
Yeah, kind of, when Mankind put the mandible claw on him. Poor Jim Ross.
That was one of the best interview segments of all time, was the Mankind interview.
I also like the Goldust interview they did with him and Terry.
Yeah, that,
I think around the same time.
That one was really good, but when they did the Mankind one, they you know, that was just the best. I mean, that was just so fucking awesome.
Yeah, it really got him over even more. You know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Jim Ross beat Triple H one time. Triple H beat the shit out of him and busted him open. I think Batista came in.
The old guy who was around like when Lutez, but he was like the junior heavyweight version of Lutez. Why can't I think of his fucking
Danny
name?
Hodge.
Danny Hodge, and Danny Hodge is fucking punching Hunter. You got this old little old man who's fucking throwing these fucking perfect fucking punches.
And then it was funny when Hunter's
bragging to Batista in the back, and he's all, so you beat up a 70-year-old man? Well, Batista was
probably
awesome,
could have took him down to the mat if he wanted to and stretched him.
He would have broke. He could, dude. He, that little old man can still break apples in his hand.
I like when Billy Styles got the promo on Jerry Lawler. You know when?
Oh,
he
yeah,
hit.
That was awesome. Like that was
and
one
that's
of
when
the
they were starting
like,
ECW
interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Punk interview was still one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll start doing some more of that stuff. Say what?
I think Joey's is better than Punk's.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And Paul Heyman did like a pipe bomb one on Vince. I think it was on SmackDown. The one where
Cass
ended up shooting him at the end.
Yeah, that
but
was like
was,
right before the Survivor Series when they were ending the whole last thing.
Yeah.
And he cut the promo on him and the XFL and the WBF and every other.
That's
thing
what the promo really was about. On Monday. It was the receipt for that.
Well, I don't know if they need a receipt. They let him say all that stuff all those years ago, so I don't
yeah,
know.
Well, now they had to get the receipt and get the heat back all these years later.
I wonder who he disliked. I bet he disliked Bischoff more than Heyman. PCW was never going to get that big, you know.
I mean, he was always working with. I mean, remember when Heyman would call him the Livewire?
Yeah, it's Bruce from Connecticut.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I was watching that show live. It was funny. That was when they, you know, I think wasn't it like the week before that they had the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, were in the front row of the pay per view, the Mind Games pay per view, and the next night Taz jumped the rail with a sign that said Sabu Fears Taz, and And that was the first appearance of Vince Russo on TV was that Livewire show.
Vic Venom.
He called Doc Hendricks Michael PSAs, and Doc Hendricks kind of morphed in Michael PSAs and threatened him.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And it's funny, he was on the show. I remember I used to actually try and call him to that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I actually tried a few times. Never could get through.
Did you see that, did you see that Terry Gordy video?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Uh-huh. My lyrics are kind of like 30 miles of bad road, but the video is pretty good.
Michael Hayes was like 30 miles of bad road. In those suits. Ugh. I don't know about that.
I don't know where he gets his stuff, but he comes up with some crazy-ass shit to wear.
I disagree with Mike Sempervivi. I don't think he's that bad of a singer.
Sempervivi's just a fucking idiot.
He's fine. Faster USA, that song's still fucking awesome.
You remember when he used to do concerts on... I guess it was when I was first starting. He actually had his own band and would do and would sing like during the commercials and stuff.
Yeah, I think I remember something like that.
I remember being at one of the shows here and he was fucking doing a concert.
I remember that angle from World Class when Buddy Roberts tried to hit Kerry Von Erich with the electric guitar and just fucking smashed Michael Hayes with it.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the boys are back in town. I thought that was a good video. Did you ever see that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that was a good one. And Bad Street was badass.
Yeah. I don't know about him and Jimmy Jam. I don't know about that one. But
We got 3 minutes. Everyone, check out angrymarks.com. You can always download our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone, check angrymarks.com and. I did have something I was going to bring up, but I just forgot it while I was doing the plug.
Now, what are we doing next week?
Next week?
Yeah.
Can
we have some
sure.
Japanese stuff we were watching next week?
The what?
Japanese stuff?
Yeah, we'll do a little. I'll try and send you those links tonight or tomorrow afternoon, and we'll just talk about, like, the main, because, like, What's really weird about, like, the short, it's only a short time period, but how many, like, it's amazing how many 5-star matches that these group of women were having. And I've been watching, I found, like, this one guy on YouTube has, like, one, like a channel, like, it's kind of like yours or whatever.
Yep.
And this dude just has, like, hundreds and hundreds of freaking matches. And I've been watching it, and it's just, this shit's just blowing my mind.
Well, send me the link to that channel so I can watch it on my TV and watch it on my Xbox.
I sent it to you on Facebook.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Check one of the messages. I don't know if it's just the message between me and you or the message between me and Craig. The name of the guy is Double Miz.
Okay. I can find it. I remember something about Japanese women the other day on Facebook. I didn't look too hard at it, but yeah. The main only
like
really Japanese. This isn't the like the hair match, is it, that we watched?
Well, that's one of the matches we could kind of like talk about. But like that one girl that won the hair matches, she's in a bunch of other ones. It's like basically it's like her and Hokuto Masano and Asia. I just saw the match with Bunakan and Asia Kong where it's a cage match, and she fucking did the leg drop off the top of the cage.
Uh huh.
I mean, it's even crazier than. Going out the top of the cage, especially because
yeah,
almost
haven't seen that much of this is all Japan, right? All Japan women.
Yeah, it's all, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really seen all that much except for what we watched last year. So,
well, like some of the link, like there's one of the matches actually beat out, and it is because I was like because I looked up Toyota because she's the most like famous one, her and Hokuto, because I knew she was in a bunch of 5-star matches because Dave always brings it up. So I was looking at it in one of the matches, she's taking on, okay, you remember when they had the Survivor Series and they brought in the All Japan women when Medusa was Alondra Blaze?
Yeah, with Aja Kong as the captain of the
women's yeah.
team.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, Alondra Blaze is like main, like I guess the main one. She and I think they messed up and she got pinned before she was supposed to, but there was like this one girl who had like Ultimate Warrior makeup kind of. Anyway, she has a match with Toyota, and it's like, and I read that match was the actual voted match of the year, And I was like, wow. And then I read that it beat out the Shawn Michaels Razor Remote Ladder match. And then I was like, how? How could it beat out this match? Until I watched it, and I was like, oh, okay. But I'll definitely send you that one. That one is freaking awesome.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. I mean, we probably can't do a whole show. I know, and the thing, Craig's seen them. He's seen these matches, but he's all doesn't know he can do it. He's all trying to get out.
I'd like to.
I asked Shimp, but he Shimp says he just knows the basics of the women. And I'm gonna try and get, I'll try and get Dave. If we can get Dave, we could do like a half hour on that, and then we can just do other shit with Dave.
And do a show. Maybe watch some of the men's matches. Like I'd like to see some of the stuff like with Dr. Death and, you know, Kobashi and guys like that.
Yeah, we could just talk about kind of like Japanese, making a whole Japanese thing next week.
Yeah,
I'm sure
I think I've really only got to see most Japanese wrestling would maybe be like New Japan, because they had the stuff with WCW and I've seen some All Japan, but I haven't seen a lot of it. But I'd like to go back and watch some of it, like Misawa and Dr. Death and Kobashi and Kawada and guys like that.
I saw there's one match where it's Kobashi and Misawa, and you can sadly kind of see how what happened to Misawa all those years later, because I mean they were just dropping each other on their heads.
Those rings were hard, man.
Did you ever see it? The whole match is on YouTube, but like somebody like did the clips of it, and there's like it's like a chop fest between Kobayashi and Kinsuke.
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you need to find it, because it's these two just big older Japanese dudes just chop you. They must have threw 500 chops in like 4 minutes or something.
Damn.
I mean, they just sit there and they're taking them and they're no selling them, and then but toward the end, Kinsuke, you can tell Kinsuke's fucking hurting. Because he starts flinching and stuff. Sit there and they just fucking, it was crazy,
dude.
What was
the match where Muta bled so much? Was that with Hakushi?
Oh, I'm not too sure. I don't know if I've seen that one.
Like it's the most anybody's ever bled or something, like in one of the companies.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone can top the one Briscoe brother that was hanging over Jimmy Jacobs.
Well, I mean in Japan at least. For the Japan, like, blood scale or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've heard of Muda being in a match where he was bleeding a lot, but I haven't seen it.
I'm sure it was, like, somebody who, like, one of the fools, like Onita's probably bled more.
Yeah.
When Kevin Sullivan jumped that Japanese guy in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, did you ever see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, gosh. That was awesome. But, yeah, we should go and watch some of these things. I've watched a lot of the New Japan. I've never seen much All Japan, though.
Well, why don't you look up some of the men's matches, and I'll send you links to the women's matches.
I know there was a match where Dr. Death, like, dropped Kobashi on his head, like, 3 or 4 times or something.
I don't doubt it. But,
okay,
yeah, so I guess we'll do that, and maybe we'll be able to do the Batman review next week.
Okay.
Hopefully I can...
So just try some of those other. Just go to that site that I sent you the link to. And,
yeah.
There's like a bunch of threads there where they got like people, you know, putting it up on different sites, and it was a good copy. I mean, I didn't have any problem watching it from what I saw.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you had like a few few seconds that had to like refocus, but
yeah.
I mean, it was pretty deep. Like at first I was watching it and I couldn't get past 20 minutes, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, maybe I don't have the latest Flash player, because I had like a thing for the new, so I got the latest version. So then I started watching it and it's running good. I'm like, oh, awesome. And then I'm about 108 minutes in with like what, 48 minutes to go, and the motherfucker just started buffering. I was like, you motherfucker. And every time I tried to restart it, I couldn't fast forward to where I stopped. It was only start from the beginning.
Yeah, that was actually not the link that I had actually watched the first time, because I went to send you the link of the one that I had watched, and it had been taken down. And so that's when I was looking around to see if I could find another good one to send you.
And he can, there's a, like, there must be over a dozen links. You can find one easy. Just, you know, you just got to mess with it a little bit. So.
Cool.
And I started watching The Avengers, but I never got to watch the rest of it because I had something else to do.
Cool. Well, there's another link for that one, too, and I'll check that one out. I want to see it, not in 3D, because, I mean, it was cool in 3D, but I like to see how it looks like. Because, you know, sometimes movies actually look better when they're not in 3D.
Yeah. No, I was just checking out the, yeah, I won't say any more about Batman, but it's probably one of the best superhero films of all time. It was awesome. And
I thought it was, like, what I had seen of it, it was good, but, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, unless the last 40 minutes really kick up, you know, I mean.
I like the Bane character as the bad guy. I love him.
Yeah,
I like
him
better
good.
Than the Joker, than Heath Ledger. Be honest.
I actually like the Joker better, but I mean, Bane was pretty good.
I liked his voice.
Yeah, that was actually. At first, I was like, "What the fuck?" I thought I was kind of dumb, but then I kind of got more into it as the movie went on.
And I was watching it, and it made me realize how shitty those other Batman movies were. those other ones look like cartoon movies. This one looks like actually something that could be real.
Yeah.
You know. And then
yeah.
Cad Bane, he was old Jeep Swinson, all steroided up, some retard freak in one of the other Batman movies, and actually has a brain in this one. So
I was actually mad when they picked Jeep Swinson because I thought Vader would have made a better Bane. But anyway, we'll go ahead and end the show. So everyone come back next week, and we will talk to you, everyone, then.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.